You're listening to the Meet Us in Buellton podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Meet Us in Buellton. This is Kathy. And today we have a big episode. We're going to be celebrating the 101st anniversary of Buellton. So we're thrilled to have back Kurt Craig. He's our local Buellton historian to share with us kind of an abridged history of the area today and where we are. So Kurt, thank you so much for joining us. And I'm excited to have you back. We know you know everything about Buellton there is to know. So we're going to start with you. If you can just tell us a little bit about yourself and some of your background with Buellton here.
Thanks, Kathy. I appreciate it. My background with Buellton really revolves around the story of transportation and the service town that was developed. And that's really what captured my interest in the town initially, trying to understand how the highway developed through the town and how that affected the valley and the growth of the valley. And it really is a crossroads town. And that's kind of an important thing to understand about Buellton because for some time, as we'll discuss, it was part of a private ranch, but transportation was allowed to go through it. So my interest is really the photographs and the stories of the early history of Buellton. So if I know anything about Buellton, it's that period of time more so than modern Buellton and what's going on with the city like you do. So but I'm happy to talk about the historical side of it.
That's awesome. That's what we need to know. So and a little bit about the history. So people always wonder, and we're working here, you know, at the visitor center. So we get people that come in and we hear Buellton pronounced in umpteen different ways. They don't understand how to say the word sometimes, but it dates back to R.T. Buell, and that's where the name kind of stems from. So maybe you can share a little bit of history on that family and how that became relevant to the name of Buellton.
Absolutely. So Rufus Buell and his brother Alonzo Buell moved into the area and bought a large Spanish land grant. They were actually up in Salinas. They were at the time they were dairy farmers, and they were looking for a place that they could expand. And this property in what we now know as Buellton came available, Rancho San Carlos de Janata, which is St. Charles of the Woods, I believe is the correct English pronunciation. And they bought this very large rancho and started their dairy farm. And they also had cattle, sheep. It was quite a large production. They did crops. And that's kind of the early start, the Buell family. And that's where the Buell family name comes from. So that obviously is how it evolved into the name Buellton. The story of Buellton itself and how that name came about is a little bit more interesting. And we can talk about that some more, but that's just kind of the beginning.
Right. Of the story. But it stems from the Buell family, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So they, what happened is they wanted to call the town Buell, B-U-E-L-L. So when the decision was made to divide the ranch, and they divided it into seven parcels, so each family member could have a parcel of the ranch at the time. This was getting close to the time that R.T. Buell passed. So I'm assuming that he was probably getting ill and realized that he needed to do something for his family, for his heirs. And so they started working on a subdivision map for the ranch, the central part of the ranch. Now, this was directly related to what was going on with the California highway system at the time. And what was happening is throughout California, they were trying to realign what we consider the coast highway or a portion of the coast highway and make it a little straighter so that you didn't have to vary around, you know, kind of take these detours. And this happened all over California. It took many, many years. And we know for sure in Buellton that it impacted us because at some point they eventually moved the highway right out of the middle of town. But but that's really how it came about. And the interesting thing is the gentleman that was helping the Buell family with the subdivision was Mads Fries. And Mads Fries was the landman or the real estate agent that helped the Danes establish the town of Solvay.
Oh, okay.
So he was involved along with Billy Budd, who was the sister of R.T. Buell's wife, or the brother, I'm sorry. R.T. Buell was married to his sister. And so they came up with this idea that they were going to subdivide the ranch and create a town that could accommodate the highway coming through the middle of the ranch, the coast highway, as it was being realigned. And this took quite a bit of lobbying because at the time, the highway actually went around Nahoe through what we know as the Alisal Ranch, came right. into Solvang and then up into Los Olivos. So as much as Buell's wanted it moved, there were a lot of people on the other side that didn't want it moved, including, right. of course, some of the Danes that had businesses on the highway. And Felix Maddie, who had just kind of reestablished Maddie's Tavern as an automobile stop as the auto was starting to evolve. So Roman de la Cuesta, who owned Rancho de la Vega just south of the Buell Ranch, and the Buell family were fighting to get the highway aligned through their properties because they knew that it would increase the value of the properties and help with this new subdivision. And at the same time, the Maddies and some of the Danes were saying, no, we don't want you to move the highway because we're going to lose business.
Right. You know, and I don't know if I've ever heard all of that. So that, and when I'm, you know, being here and knowing the topography of everything and where everything lies, you can picture that, right? Picture that happening and where exactly. it was. So I get it.
Well, and if you've had the opportunity to drive that route, which I certainly have, because there's right. sections of the old highway, you realize, like, you know, that's kind of a windy route. It's pretty, but if you want to get somewhere in a car, which is moving much faster than a buggy, then you kind of want the straighter route, right?
So. Well, especially when cars, you know, when the automotive was invented, I mean, that just, you know, that did change a lot, of course, and still does to this day. I'm sure we'll see flying cars eventually. But Highway 101 became a major traffic road, of course, in the 30s. And that played a big role, like you just said, to Buellton, and just really kind of developing our area here and bringing people here. And I don't know if you have more information. I know we can kind of talk about what visitors might be able to see. And Absolutely. Something too, I know we get asked here quite a bit at the visitor center, the old mission bells, if you will, do those tie in at all to any of this either, Kurt? I mean, I know it's all kind of location to the mission, but maybe you can see those on the highway as well as you travel throughout the coast of California.
Right. So that all goes back to one organization that was probably the biggest lobbying organization for the development of the highway system in California. And a lot of us are members of that organization. It's called the Automobile Club of Southern California. Mm-hmm. So there was a huge movement within the Automobile Club to make better roads. They had what they called the Good Roads Program. So Good Roads, in their mind, was paving instead of dirt, which, of course, most of the roads were dirt before automobiles started coming. And it was much harder on the cars because you get flat tires. You know, think about a bicycle tire, which is more like what an automotive tire was at that time.
Right, thinner, right.
Could pop easier. And so the Good Roads Initiative also led to, through the Automobile Club of Southern California, the establishment of the mission bells along the El Camino Real, or sort of what we would call the mythical highway between the California missions. So it was a way to designate the route. And those things kind of coincided, but the development of the highway started much earlier. And this is where there's a lot of confusion about when Buellton became Buellton.
Right.
because in reality, the first bridge that crossed the San Ynez River was constructed and completed in 1917.
Okay.
And 1917 is really when Buellton came into existence. That's right. Because that's when the alignment was, you could say, completed.
Okay.
Now, during that time period, there was a lot of work going on all through the central part of California to complete that highway system. But that was the big significant event that occurred.
Okay.
And the Buell family wanted to name the town Buell instead of Buellton, mm-hmm. but the name Buell was already taken. So when they applied to the post office rejected it and said, no, we can't call it Buell. There's already a Buell up in Oregon.
Okay.
You're going to have to call it something else. My speculation is that Mads Friis, who is Danish, came up with the ton part as in town, but it's kind of like a play on Danish to say right. Buellton or Buelltown,
okay.
right? So that's really where the name came about. And that name was affirmed by the post office in 1920. So if you read a lot of the histories of Buellton, they'll say, well, 1920 is when the town was established. But mm-hmm. the reality is it was earlier than that. It was 1917.
Okay. That's when people could get here. So
yeah.
Interesting.
So that's when the alignment took place that really, and then, you know, you started having service stations pop up. In fact, some of the Danes who had stations along the route in Solvang, including a gentleman named Knut Moller, moved his gas station out to Buellton to be on the new highway. He realized
right.
that's where the traffic was going to be. And then the first hotel was built called the Buell Tavern by the first Lou brothers, and they had a cafe. So that's when things started to happen.
Right. And we can still, of course, see those things dotted along the today is the Avenue of Flags. But, you know, we still have a lot of those historical landmarks there. And I think PSUP Anderson's is coming up on their 100th anniversary in a couple of years here, I think.
So, 1924.
Lots to celebrate.
You can still see the bridge abutments, too, from that original bridge as you drive across what's now Avenue of Flags heading south on 101.
Yeah.
It's the easiest way to see them. If you look over to the right, you can see that 1917 bridge alignment. So it's kind of interesting to think about how that came into town and then curved around into what we know now as Avenue of Flags.
Exactly. Yeah. Now there's neighborhoods there. And how the landscape changes. A couple of things. I know we talk about when you had access to Buellton, but we didn't incorporate as a city until much, much later. So I don't know what changed there. I guess the city just felt they could run on their own and take themselves out of Santa Barbara County or.
Right. As we know, that happened in Solvang eventually as well. But then interestingly enough, it's never happened in Los Olivos or Ballard or Santa Ynez, which are much older towns, correct? So when you think about that, it's like, well, why did Buellton decide to create their own destiny and say Santa Ynez was like, well, we're okay with, you know, what we are. And really the bottom line of that was just growth. Buellton, because of its crossroads location, because of the service town, really wanted to be able to manage the zoning, you know, the water usage, all the things that you need to be able to do as an incorporated city. The other key to that is you have to have enough sales tax revenue to support the city. And Buellton easily had that because of the service stations and restaurants and car dealerships. And so they were able to incorporate and have it make financial sense, you know, change from being a community services district to an actual city.
Right.
I think to that, if you look at it historically, part of it was wanting a little bit more control because of what happened with the highway over that period of time. Because, you know, when they made the initiative to move the highway out of the middle of town, the businessmen got together and lobbied and were able to, at least for a short time, defer the movement of the highway. So this was around right after World War II. There was a pretty strong initiative to relocate the highway, you know, because it was slowing the traffic down too much to have to go through the stoplights and whatnot. And they were able to push that off until 1964 when they did build the freeway. But at least for some time, it kind of saved the downtown corridor.
Yeah. And I know the city tries to, you know, they're trying to work on all of that today and still dealing with some of those issues of, you know, it being too wide or not making it walkable. So there's a lot of conversation, of course, around that and interest in the avenue today, which is good. I hope it sparks, you know, something to happen here. It'd be nice to have a walkable downtown in this old corridor that used to be the 101. So it's kind of exciting to see. And I know you lay out the history so well. And I know the Historical Society and the Historical Room for Buellton is located upstairs at PSUP Anderson's restaurant. So if people are in town and want to pay a visit to that and learn a little bit more or see some images, it's really a nice place to go and kind of just meander through and learn a little bit more about the history and how we became a city. And I don't know if there are any special events taking place, Kurt. I've not heard of any yet. I don't know if the Historical Society or Arts and Culture Committee or anybody are looking to celebrate this large anniversary, and maybe they're waiting till PSUPs turns 100. I don't know. But I haven't, I know we do a lot of events in the community. I know yourself are involved in events. So I don't know if we have anything to celebrate or, you know, in plans for.
Right. I haven't heard anything either. And I guess part of that challenge is, you know, the date, right? Because if we're using the 1920 date, then it is the 100 year anniversary. But if we were using the 1917 date, then it would be, you know, we missed it by 4 years, you know, so somebody's got to pick a date. And Anderson's historically has done the best job of celebrating their anniversaries. So you know, we're coming up on that, as you said, 100 years in 1924. So we probably should try to do something somewhere in this time period to celebrate.
I think so too.
It was a little more clear cut with Solvang when they did their 100 year anniversary because, you know, there was a clear establishment date, 1911. So I think it's probably important. And, you know, we all know that Buellton's turned into a tremendous destination for many reasons. The events that you guys have been having, and then of course our Flying Flags RV park is incredibly popular.
Yeah. Knocking it out of the park. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's great to see what's happened even in the last 10 or 12 or 15 years since I got involved with the Avenue.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to keep the service town tradition. I think most people do, because that's how the town started.
Mm-hmm.
It was gas stations and diners and motels, and those are worthy of celebration. But, you know, there's also the wine country now that's evolved,
sure,
and many other things. So
I agree. I think there's something to be had there in the identity of that too, that comes along with that. You know, we look around at the other towns in the valley here, and they all kind of have a unique identity. And sometimes Buellton, we're like, what, you know, what's our identity here? And so
besides pea soup.
Yeah, right.
Besides which isn't pea a bad soup. Thing, but you
it's
know, yeah,
not. It's totally put us on the map, and people still know it all over the world today. Yeah, so
it's amazing how many people are still familiar with Anderson's pea soup.
Yes, it's a generational thing, and people keep taking their next generations and as they travel through. So it's kind of fun to see, and hopefully we can preserve that. But I think it's great. The history, I'm always learning something, and I've been here for a while now, but I just always continue to learn, and you always bring a wealth of knowledge with you with the history of Buellton and just some of those fun stories of, and like you say, the transportation and the highways is a huge part of how we became who we are, because we basically were bypassed for years, right? It went into Solvang, and so that's just how things happen and progression, and I'm sure we'll continue to see that as we move forward in our kids and grandkids' ages, and who knows what it'll look like then. But for now, we celebrate it, and it's really unique, and it's fun, and it's great to see where we've come as a city, and the things that we've been able to do, and kind of bring and preserve some of that history along with it, which is nice, with Pea Soups and the Avenue and some of the restaurants that are still here, and motels, and Mendenhall Museum does a great job preserving that as well. So awesome. Is there anything else, Kurt, maybe that we've missed or that you'd like to touch on or share about the history of Buellton?
No, I think that it's great that that we're celebrating, that we're talking about it, because it's important. And I agree with you. I think that the city itself has evolved into a great direction. It's been well managed as a city. And I think that we're really fortunate to have the people that are passionate about it and have carried on from long ago when the Buells first came here and established their ranch. So.
Right. I have to agree. We always like to round out our sessions and our podcasts with the question of, you know, what do you like most about Buellton? And I know we've asked you this before when you did a different podcast on Pea Soups, but you know, the majority of people always end it with the community. They love the community here. And that's, you know, one thing through growth, and, you know, we know how things can happen, but that's one thing I think we've been able to preserve is the sense of community here and small town. Even though we're growing, we're bustling, things are happening, we've really been able to preserve some of that small town feel still, which is great. And we have a great community, like you say, that backs it up, supports it, and stands up for it. And it takes all of that, right, to kind of retain and preserve some of that. So awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us again. I appreciate it. And sharing the history again, our listeners, I hope they get a chance to come and visit. And some of the things that Kurt shared with you today, you'll see some of these landmarks, or you'll look around and understand it a little bit better when you're in town, and get a sense of feel of how the transportation, how the roadways, how all of that worked to really establish Buellton. So anyhow, thanks again, Kurt. I know we couldn't do this without you because you're such a wealth of knowledge on the history of Buellton. We appreciate you sharing that with us today. And I think that's all I have. So
thanks,
I'll go back.
Kathy.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening again today. Continue to follow us on Discover Buellton on our social media platforms and join our conversation. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we'll talk to you again soon. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Meet Us in Buellton podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network, hosted by Kathy Vreeland and Megan DiCicco, and produced by Relic.